This episode is sponsored in part by Swim. Okay, here's a depressing stat. 70% of shoppers who want your products never actually buy them. They browse, they consider, then they forget. That's revenue walking out the door. Swim Wishlist Plus turns browsers into buyers. Customers save products they want, get notified when prices drop or items restock. You can also engage them in personalized fashion through your marketing or sales outreach. It's like having a personal shopper reminding them to come back and buy from you instead of your competitors. And 45,000 stores already use it, and it only takes 5 minutes to install. You can try it free today for 14 days. Go to getswim.com/Kurt. That's swimwithay.com/Kurt. Turn those maybe laters into sales today. Getswim.com. Oh, my friends, today on the unofficial Shopify podcast, I want to share with you more AI content. But hold on. No, I swear this will be practical and tactical. That's our bread and butter. I want you to walk away with strategies for optimizing for these LLMs, these large learning models like ChatGPT and Perplexity. Because an interesting thing has occurred recently. I started running reports in our retainer client stores to check for a referral source on new orders. You know, where we want to know where our new customer acquisition is coming from, because if there's new spaces where we're getting new orders and customers, we want to double down on that. And in several stores now, I'm seeing ChatGPT pop up as a referrer, which I'm so excited about. Also so frustrated because I can't see the conversation. I don't know what the heck they asked it that got it to recommend our clients' products. And then even Perplexity. And so I went down this rabbit hole. I put in every AI referrer I could come up with. And right now it seems to be ChatGPT and Perplexity. So, okay, this idea, this concept of how do we optimize for that? How do we do SEO for AI? What's that look like? Is that real? Man, we're all still figuring this out together. And so I need someone who's actively working on it, who's been in the space a while, who's going to talk it through with us. And that's Matt King from Domain, and also formerly of Shopify. Matt, welcome back to the show. God, what is this, your third appearance?
Second appearance.
Second.
But although the last one was, actually, well, third appearance if you count some of your like roundups from editions.
The lightning interviews, yeah, from conferences, for sure.
Yes, but my second direct 101. Glad to be back. I'm stoked to be talking to you today, Kurt. We go back, so this is going to be fun.
Yeah, back in the day, you were a Shopify partner manager.
I was. Yeah, that's how I cut my teeth. I mean, before that, I was a customer service agent, which Shopify used to call gurus until that became somewhat cancelable. But
yeah, we canceled the term guru.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, at least like no 23-year-old guy from Ottawa, Canada should have been called a guru. Yeah, moved into the partnerships, you know, worked with you for a couple of years while I was at Shopify. Worked with a number of different agencies while I was at Shopify. I left a while ago now, 2018. So, you know, it's been a while since I worked there, but it was certainly, it was so fun.
But all right, so today, if you're not at Shopify anymore, what are you doing?
Yeah, good question. I mean, so I left Shopify to join my favorite agency at the time. I managed agencies mostly in New York City. I managed an agency called Half Helix, which is a 10-person agency run by a developer based out of New York. It was kind of this undercover, if you know, Half Helix is good type team. So I left and pitched the founder of Half Helix, Peter, who's my now business partner. I said, I'll leave Shopify, I'll join your agency, and I'll be the Harley to your Toby. I embarrassingly, I actually used that line. So, you know, but it worked. I was like, I look out and I'll be the face and I'll do sales and marketing and partnerships. And, you know, you run the business and run the engineering and that worked to secure my partnership. So I left Shopify, joined as a partner in Half Helix. That was in January 2019. Since then, we merged with we bought an agency called AbleSense based out of Halifax, which is now our mid-market and SMB offering called Domain Studio. And then we merged with another agency, our biggest competitor at the time, called Tomorrow. You know, and we were competitive. It was the Capulets and the Montagues. You know, like we fought for clients and employees. And And then we merged and formed Domain. And now we're the largest, we're the largest Shopify agency, which large doesn't mean anything of itself. The important thing is it's the best. So, you know, I think we're the best, but
yeah. Well, I would agree with largest, you know, taking three agencies that were not small and combining them and then, you know, continuing to scale and grow that has been, well, it's, you know, it's been fun to watch for me, but you know, one of your more recent service offerings that you just announced was this concept of optimizing for AI. And we've touched on this on the show before, and it evolving so quickly. The first thing I want to establish is, what the heck do we call it? There's no way we could keep referring to it as SEO for AI. There's got to be a better term. And I know you have thoughts here.
I have thoughts, but my thoughts, so it's funny. At first, we're like, okay, GEO, I saw it online. People are calling it GEO. We're going to refer to it as that. And then I got into a sales call. We started saying GEO just casually. And then at one point, I got interrupted by a prospect and he goes, hey, what's GEO? You know, so you forget that we're in this bubble, this little tech bubble where you see the latest and greatest terms. And you're not always, you know, they're not widely represented. And then as we got deeper and deeper into doing our analysis, we realized that AEO was another accepted term for the exact same thing. DEO, AEO. I've also seen AIO. So what we've decided, which sounds like kind of like old McDonald, you know, AIO.
Yeah, it was like AIO, AEO. AIO seemed like the obvious one, AI optimization, right? But the one I've seen, at least like from other marketers on social media, which, you know, take that with a grain of salt, has been GEO, GEO, which I don't even know what it stands for.
It's generative engine optimization.
Generative engine optimization. Yeah, you're right. For when the SEO people want to optimize for AI and SEO, they went with neither of those terms entirely. Brilliant.
Well, and then there's AEO, which is answer engine optimization. And what's you know all of these technologies that are being built to support AI search optimization are also all having to pick their acronym. So Profound, which is maybe the most advanced AI search tracking tool, or at least the most, like, it's found its market fit. You know, it's the most expensive for sure. They're using AEO. But a different one called Athena, for example, might use GEO. So the truth is, it's too new. The acronym has not been solved yet. We don't know what it's called. So therefore, Domain, we're choosing to just say AI search optimization. It's a mouthful, but we're waiting for the acronym thing to play out. Yeah.
And so the tools you mentioned were Profound and
Athena.
Athena SEO.
Yeah. Well, Athena, I think it's called.
I got the wrong one.
Athena.ai,
you know, AthenaHQ.ai.
Yes, AthenaHQ.ai. And there's others. There's Cognizio. There's Gumloop or Gumshoe. I can't remember which one. So there's like this arms race right now of all these different prompt tracking softwares that are basically like, think of like SEMrush, but for AI search optimization. We've done demos with all of them, and we've seen they all have like similar pricing. They're all backed by different, you know, YC, you know, Combinator. Like they all have this, like, this private equity veil, or sorry, venture capital veil in front of them, and they're just sell it. Like the demand is there, and these companies are just taking off.
And essentially the idea is, currently, if I want to track success of SEO, I would have keywords I'm interested in, and there are tools that will automate showing me, like, well, here's the average ranking position that this gets versus these, you know, this new flavor of tool will tell me, we'll try to estimate how often my brand would get mentioned by, you know, ChatGPT, Perplexity, or similar tools.
Exactly. Yeah. What they'll do is they'll call it like 15 to 20 different prompts. You know, the big difference, right, between SEO and, let's call it, GEO.
So wait, is that what we're going with? We're going with GEO?
I'm just going to say that just for as a shorthand for this conversation, so I don't have to say AI search optimization. Well, so, you know, there's SEMrush, Ahrefs, there's all these tools that SEO specialists have been using for years to monitor individual keywords. The biggest difference between GEO and SEO is the length of the prompt, right? An average prompt is 33 words in length versus like an average keyword, which is 1 to 3 words in length. So there's this entire new industry of software that's spun up in order to track prompts. And The problem is that there's so much demand right now, and there's so many businesses that are focusing on this who don't know what to buy, that, you know, this is a fairly commoditized tool, at least in the SEO space. Like, it's all you're doing is tracking keywords. So companies are overspending on this software in the AI search optimization space right now, because they just, it's just so new. So I recommend for people who are interested in tracking prompts and who are interested in looking at AI search optimization, don't spend $1,000 a month on a tracking tool. Like, do a little bit more research, and you know, this is going to be commoditized in 6 to 12 months. It will be.
I think right now you're still on like your bleeding edge tool. And so there's an appetite for it, and they're able to charge more for it. You're absolutely right. Like, it, there's not going to be a huge difference between these tools over time, and they'll have to compete on price, especially as, you know, more people enter the market. And certainly, you know, a lot of the existing SEO tools are, I'm sure, building or looking at, you know, the same features for their tool sets.
That's true, but Kurt, I struggle with that mentality, which is, you're right, all the traditional SEO tools are going to be building in AI search functionality. The same way that every traditional Shopify app has been, all of a sudden, claims to be AI integrated. You know, like,
oh, that drives me nuts.
But what's going on there? It's so hard to separate the wheat from the chaff in terms of like who actually is using LLMs at a foundational level when it comes to Shopify apps, because they've all adjusted their marketing to say that they're AI integrated. So, you know, I pity the newcomer into the Shopify space who can't tell the difference, you know, who's really been foundationally AI.
This really seems very similar to SEO. It's like, all right, let's say I sell shorts. You know, I'm in Google, I'd be optimizing for like, you know, best men's shorts. And then my long tail keyword phrase would be like best men's shorts for vacation, right? My wife has a excellent search ranking for best shorts for Disney World, I believe, or like best anti-chafing shorts for Disney World. You would not believe the number of people who do that search. It's crazy. And so then like I'm applying that same concept to AI, where instead of doing the Google search, the person is just asking ChatGPT, or they're asking Perplexity, which a little different. You know, a tool like ChatGPT or Claude, or like a traditional chatbot, you know, is what these AIs are. They have a database that they're going through. And then there's like the answer engine version, like Perplexity, where I ask it the question, it then is going to do a series of searches and then summarize the results for me. Are they different? That's what we're talking about, right? It's just trying to get mentioned more often. Okay. How? Like, I get the why we want to do this, right? I don't want to keep paying for Meta. I don't want to keep paying for PPC ads. And, you know, if I perceive my competitors are doing this, I feel the pressure to do it too. But in theory, if I can manage this, I am getting, you know, potentially free unlimited traffic from these search engines' recommendations. Same as traditional SEO. If I'm thinking through this, you know, Perplexity is getting the answers from Google. And so traditional SEO may be the optimization there. ChatGPT and similar is from the data they have scraped from the internet that they're just constantly updating. They need more to make the models smarter and smarter. How do I optimize for that? I mean, they're still getting the data from the web, right?
Here's the truth, is that it's mostly SEO. You know, it's like if brands currently have an SEO strategy, they're going to be most of the way there when it comes to GEO or AI search optimization. So now there is a chasm, 70% SEO. There's another 30% on top of that that's specific to this new world. So that's probably where we should focus on. I mean, if you know SEO, or if you have an SEO agency, or your friend, you know, does SEO for a different brand, hire them. Because you will start showing up better on search results. Now, I mentioned earlier, the biggest difference is the size of the prompt versus the size of the keyword. So how do you, like, the first step in showing up on ChatGPT when someone's chatting, like, what's the best beauty brand for dry skin, is to start tracking it, you know, create a custom dashboard. Look at 10 to 20 different prompts and analyze which prompts you want to be showing up for in ChatGPT results. Now, the way to find those prompts can also be done through traditional SEO. Look at your organic keywords. Why are people coming to you through Google? What paid ads are you bidding on? What keywords are you bidding on through Google Analytics and what's performing the best? Now, take those 10 to 15 keywords that you're bidding on through Google or Meta, bring them into ChatGPT and ask them, hey, I'm a beauty brand that focuses on people with dry skin. Here are the keywords I'm using for Google. Can you create 10 to 15 prompts that people would use to discover the same brand that I'll start tracking for AI search optimization? Ask ChatGPT for your own answer, how you can get found on them. And they'll come up with 15 prompts, and that's what you should use to start. Also, go through your own thought process. You know, think about what prompts you think you should be showing up for, and incorporate some of those as well. But the first step is to start tracking.
Here's a word from our sponsor, Zipify. You know why they call it Black Friday? It's when businesses finally dig out of the red and turn real profit. Want to squeeze every penny from your Black Friday sale? One click upsell is the easiest money you'll make all season. OCU automatically increases average order value by up to 30% with AI-powered upsells at every step of your customer journey. Plus, there's a new tool built right in, Zipify Post Profit. Post Profit monetizes your thank you page with brand-safe ads from partners like Hulu, GoDaddy, and Disney+. Doesn't cost you anything. Just switch it on and get paid pure profit for every view automatically. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas, earn up to 30% more from every order all year long. Don't leave money on the table this holiday season. Go to Zipify.com/Kurt for your 30-day free trial. That's Zipify.com/KURT. Okay, so it's, yes, this overlaps significantly with existing SEO, and the keyword strategy does too, and that's where we want to start. And so I want to use keywords I'm bidding on, plus, you know, if I use Google Search Console, I can get the terms that I'm ranking for. Google Search Console's free. You really should set your site up with it if you haven't yet. And then once I've got that, it's pretty easy to turn around and give the context to, you know, my AI tool of choice, ChatGPT or Claude. I like Claude. And have it, you know, essentially like rephrase those into questions for me. Then, all right, then I turn around, I use these a tool. Like Profound, Profound Athena, that will then ask automated, you know, ask those questions of the AI search engines and then tell me how often it recommends them. Cause there's like a little bit of randomness to it as well.
Yeah, there is, right? You can ask the same question three different times in the ChatGPT and get different answers each time, right? You know, Kurt, I'm sure you've done this. I've done this, right? Go to ChatGPT and ask, who's the best Shopify partner for, you know, helping brands in this segment, right? And see what they come up with. And every time I ask that question, I research, you know, our own business. They're giving me a different list. And I often don't know where they're pulling from. I mean, you can do a little bit of research into how they've pulled from, but that's also what they're doing through those tracking tools is you come up with 10 to 15 prompts you want to start tracking. They'll show you how you're ranking on those prompts, meaning you're showing up 10% of the time, you're showing up 50% of the time, you're showing up 100% of the time, which is rare. And here's why you're showing up, because of this article, or here's why your competitor's showing up, because of this article. So that ChatGPT found on the 11th page of Google that talked about how, you know, how beginners can make the best cup of coffee. The other thing to think about from a brand perspective is, should you be focusing on this channel right now? Because it is early. And what kind of people are using AI tools in order to make purchasing decisions? Well, the dorks, you know, the early comers of new tech, that's who's making decisions. So we found that our brands who are having the most success optimizing for AI right now are people who sell to dorks. And I'm a dork. I like coffee. I want a good cup of coffee. Bello, which is a client of ours that makes, like, you know, the perfect cup. They have a bunch of coffee devices for people who really care about, like, the temperature in the thickness of the blade when you actually ground up coffee beans, and you know, how to maintain a hot cup of coffee on your desk at the right temperature. Those are the people who are going to chat tools and asking for an analysis on what they should buy. So if you're a brand that has customers who are doing a deep level of analysis on your product, you should be thinking about getting on this now, even though, yeah, it's a bit early.
For sure, if I have a technical product or I have a product that potentially appeals to to techie folks. But even then, you know, the brands, our retainer clients, where, you know, I'm starting to see this, not at all technical. You know, one sells bags, another sells tea, right? And that surprised me because, you know, I thought of it the way you did. You know, and it's not a huge percent, you know, a fraction of 1% is the reality. But seeing it on these, you know, very totally normal brands really surprised me because this is the thing that, like Shopify Editions, it was clear that this is the future that Shopify envisions potentially happening here is, you know, we just use AI, we communicate and shop with and do everything with, you know, an AI agent essentially functioning as like a personal assistant. That's the future we're betting against here, or betting on rather, and hedging against.
Not only are the people at Fellow who care about the perfect cup of coffee caring about AI search optimization, but so are a 150-year-old brand that sells home goods. That's the shocking part, is that it's on everybody's mind right now, which means that it's overhyped. Like, you know, one's going to be looking for a plate of fine china through ChatGPT and making a purchasing decision like that right now. I'm sure of it, you know, and at least for firm percentage of traffic-wise, a fraction of 1%, as you mentioned, that's absolutely true. I think it'll be true for the next 6 to 12 months. But still, we're early. Yes. Is it overhyped? Yes. But if what you're doing is mostly SEO anyway, it can't help. But sorry, it can't hurt. It'll only help your business. So at least at the very worst base outcome, you'll improve your own site's SEO, which is still a good outcome. At the very best outcome, you're going to start getting real sales from AI search tools, which is a really good one.
I want to ask the inverse question. Are there black hat tactics that we shouldn't do? Is there, you know, in SEO, there are things that you should not do that bad actors or people looking for, you know, the easy cheat, the quick workaround, the hack will attempt. Do those same strategies exist in geo?
I believe so, yes. I think there's twofold, which one, AI written content. I mean, let's talk about that for a second, because what's going to, like, the other thing all these tools do that track your keywords is they'll say, hey, your competitors, which you also input, you know, 10 to 15 competitors, by the way, these tools. So they'll, not only are they monitoring your own GEO tracking, they're monitoring how your competitors are showing on AI search. And then they'll say, your competitor's showing up for how to make, how to wear the best dress to a spring wedding. And it's because of this one very specific article that they have on their website. Would you like me to write the same article in different wording for your own website? And then you click yes. And then it'll just create a whole blog post for you about how to have the perfect dress for a spring wedding that you can then copy, paste, put on your website, boom. But it's written by AI. Now, there's a level of sophistication. AI tools can tell what content was written by AI. So right now, there's a little bit of arbitrage. They're not that great at being able to tell. And those articles are still helping companies rank. But that's going to be the first thing. I'm sure. The first thing when AI tools get more sophisticated is they're going to cut out AI written content. And it's just not going to rank for shit. So I would recommend brands stay away from actually coming up with leveraging AI to write content for you, think for you. If you like, feel free to leverage AI to edit your content, make it cleaner, make it look better, make it sound better. But the actual thought behind it, no, that's not going to work. And that's not going to work long.
Where people get tripped up is it is not creative. Do not think of it as a creative tool. If you give it, you know, if you treat it as an editor, well, suddenly it's quite extraordinary, right? And so I think it's like, okay, you know, you could work with it. It's like, hey, this, you get a garbage in, garbage out. You know, if you give it, if you're just like, write me a blog post, it's not going to be any good. Versus, you know, if I give it enough context to start with on like, this is my audience. This is the problem. This is the solution. This is the brand background. This is the topic we want to write on. Let's brainstorm those topics. Okay, great. Now that you got that, these are the points I want to hit. Is that a good outline? Like, you can walk through a writing process with it. Or ideally, you know, like, do a rough draft yourself and be like, okay, what's missing? One of my favorite questions to ask it is go, well, what do you really think? And then, like, often that's the way to get it to give you actual critique on it, and then punch it up that way. But yeah, this, what's interesting about LLMs is if you train them on AI generated data, they fall apart, right? And I think you're right. They'll quickly you know, learn to identify the what is obviously AI written content, because it has like clear syntax and formatting. It's like ChatGPT signing its own name, right? We've all heard about the M dash. Don't do M dashes. So we need, again, it's funny, this age of AI and optimizing for it. We're like, well, don't use it. Use human written content. You're right. I think you're right. But still, again, more like it's traditional SEO again. We're like, we're writing blog posts, man.
Dude, it's back to basics. That's the real secret sauce too, is that like it's back to basics when it comes to SEO. It's SEO 1.0 or maybe 1.5. You know, it's not like I'm making a fake, like using the same color of font as my background color and like in jamming a website with
it's, you know, stuffing it with rich keywords.
Yeah, keywords, right? It's not quite that far back, but it's the one phase after that. You know, it's just like coming up with blog posts, writing content that prompts can identify as an authority source and point back to your website. That's that simple. And there's other things to talk about as well. But the other part that you mentioned, kind of like, what are the black hat tactics? And like, what are things we should avoid? I think Reddit, you know, Reddit is a huge source of material for LLMs. Maybe non-surprisingly, but like there's a lot of chatter happening. There's a Shopify Reddit group. There's all sorts of e-commerce Reddit groups, you know, and they're going to pick up that as a source. You know, what's the best Shopify app for X? Or how do I, you know, increase my conversion rate? And these are places that Shopify is going to reference. What's the, or beauty, you know, I have oily skin. What product should I use? You know, that's where a lot of these references are going to be taking place. And a lot of the information LLMs are going to be referencing. Now, how do you, when it comes to a marketer's perspective, their first instinct when they know that Reddit's going to be important is, okay, I'm going to set up a bot. I'm going to make a channel. I'm going to, you know, track all the chatter. I'm going to make sure my 10 different new bot accounts respond on every one of these Reddit posts. And that is not the way. I see you shaking your head. No, that's going to get you. Yeah, that'll get people banned, booted, and removed from the community really quickly. Reddit does a great job at self-moderating. So the hard answer, instead of like that naughty way of just creating a bot and automating your responses, is like you actually have to engage with the community. You know, you have to figure out, you know, bring on a community member of your team, or you know, do it yourself. Are you an owner? Start track Reddit activity and then respond with real thoughtful answers that identify who you are and why you have the authority on that topic. And Reddit will still find that. That's a more engaged and specific strategy. Not suitable for everyone, obviously, but important to note. I think like don't try and game Reddit, because that's going to get you booted.
No, I think that's really good advice, because like if you do a search, especially a recommendation or like review type search, Perplexity will always come back, like because it cites its sources, and you will always see it looking through Reddit for info for exactly the reasons you cited. And part of it's like they know, you know, you're going to get. The chances are you're going to get a real human written response from an actual person perusing Reddit versus, you know, like blog review sites where it's this very, you know, probably paid for at some point editorial content. And we know Reddit, like that's definitely the direction these LLMs go to get fresh non-AI content, is like, hey, let's go to Reddit. And Reddit has licensing agreements to give this content to these AIs. To train it. And so for sure, like that pipeline is there. So if you could get consistent recommendations in Reddit, that's going to start to appear in these AI results. Okay. Smart. Smart, and depending on like how much effort it takes, you know, it really, like oftentimes when you see it cite something, it'll be like one person had a question and then, you know, a couple people commented, and it will grab and summarize just that. And so I don't think you have to go huge to see an impact from those Reddit comments.
You're absolutely right. And it also, what that also means is like, you don't have to wait for them to become new. Go find an old post that already exists. If you're selling dog houses and there's a doghouse subreddit, I hope there's not, but there might be. And I mean, actually, I don't think a doghouse subreddit would be about actual doghouses. I think that's good. If you can find a post on Reddit asking for what's the best doghouse in the market, well, even if it was written 2 years ago, go ahead and respond to that now, you know, give a little bit of fresh activity to that post that already is out there. And let's see if it gets picked up through LLMs.
Yeah. Okay. Are there other sites, are there other watering holes we think that these AIs tend to favor?
Well, they're favoring pretty basic blog content in a way that Google has kind of moved past. That's one thing that we've realized through looking at some of the tracking. And again, I'll focus on my own business, right? I'm kind of obsessed with how accurate has ChatGPT got domain. You know, if I talk about, you know, who's like, I'm a VP of e-commerce at a $250 million e-commerce brand migrating from Salesforce to Shopify, who are five agencies I have to talk to, you know, and I'll use the exact prompt and they'll give me five agencies that I've never heard of. And I know that I shouldn't talk to them, you know, I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Why are they showing up? So you can actually, through some of these tracking tools, view the authority source that ChatGPT is using as to why those agencies are showing up. So I'll click on that and look through. And what I found was an article on the 10th page of Google, literally the 10th page, that was written 4.5 years ago on like one of those really spammy blog posts that have like ads kind of like plastered all around the entire thing of like, here are the top 10 Shopify agencies that you need to talk to about your store. You know, clearly just like a random spam piece of content.
Somebody's like goofy listicle. Trying to make money for like get rich quick with AdSense 10 years ago.
Yes, interesting. That's been relegated to the 10th page of Google, and Google would never showcase as a real result, but ChatGPT is. So, you know, over the last 20 years, believe it or not, Google got pretty good at showcasing what the right results were on page one. ChatGPT is not that sophisticated yet.
Yeah, that Google algorithm, like that's this black box. You know, so much effort has gone into that versus, you know, ChatGPT has solved for an AI and done a great job at it. But now we also expect them to solve search ranking algorithms too. Like it's tough. I get why this is interesting. I had not thought of it this way. But yeah, it's essentially like you're doing SEO, but you know, SEO as it was 10, 15 years ago is what it sounds
like. Oh yeah. Well, yeah, good luck. ChatGPT, you're about to go up against a swath of internet marketers trying to outgame the system. Good luck. You know, took Google
and
20 years to get
Black Hat SEO people.
Exactly.
They're right? A creative bunch.
Yeah. And so there are real ways right now for arbitrage in this short period of time before ChatGPT gets good enough to say, no, we're only showing the proper result, you know, that makes sure that both EtherCycle and domain show up every single time someone asks that prompt on ChatGPT. You know, that's,
spamming Reddit right now.
Oh, you have? During this call, yeah.
Yes, yeah, as we're going. Here's some customer service emails you don't want to wake up to. I was drunk. This was a gift, but we broke up. Wrong color, wrong size, wrong me. Sound familiar? With Cleverific, you don't have to deal with these anymore. Cleverific gives your customers a self-service portal to edit their own orders. No emails, no back and forth, just simple fixes. Fewer support tickets, faster fulfillment, and happier customers. Peter Manning New York slashed their order support request by 99%. You can too. Get 50% off the Cleverific Pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for the Unofficial Shopify podcast listeners. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Fix the problem before it's a problem. That's Cleverific. That's very much offsite SEO, you know, that we're engaging in here with the Reddit comments. The blog stuff is on-site. That's content marketing. What about technical on-site SEO? You know, an SEO agency that I like a lot asked us to implement on a client site was incredibly sophisticated structured data, schema markup. So you know, you could, obviously, you know, this is, but on your website, you can, any Shopify theme now, you know, that's from the Shopify theme store is going to be required to output structured markup data in a language called JSON. And it'll essentially spell out in a like cleanly formatted way what the search engine's looking at. Like, this is the title. This is the description. It is a product. This is the price. Here's the photos. You know, in that way, it just makes it very easy for the search and understand. You could really expand this like beyond just a product. And so I did this on a page. And I had AI help me write this with like conditional statements where it would be like, it was for phone cases. And I'd be like, all right, if the title has leather in it, now there's a separate structured markup for material and we're going to describe the leather. Like we went crazy with it. I have no idea if that'll make a difference or it'll do anything. It was a fun problem to solve. What are your thoughts on structured data or like this on-site, technical optimization?
Yeah, absolutely table stakes to have real structured data using H1, H2, H3 tags properly on every individual page of your Shopify theme. The reason why it's actually particularly important for Shopify is that we've seen a couple, like, you know, either you have a theme from Shopify's theme store and you've gone through this as like a DIY, you know, project, you've built something yourself, or maybe you've worked with an agency. We've, in most agencies, at least the ones that are half decent, have their own theme starter kit. Meaning over time, they've built their own kind of like approach to theming on Shopify. And that means that they've kind of built this kind of like beginning point where they can implement your brand, how you want your look and feel to be. But some agencies we've seen are using their structured content wrong at a foundational level for their theme kit. So we're getting these websites, you know, coming to us for a retainer or and seeing that like the theme kit in and of itself has been set up in a way where it's just using H1 tags throughout the entire website. Right. And
doesn't pass accessibility when you don't get you don't follow that hierarchy. So it's like, okay, that's a problem. Bad for SEO. That's a problem. You know, bad for just like a whole series of things. Drives me nuts when somebody goes, I got a custom theme, so I can't change my settings. It's like, no, you have an unfinished theme. That's
yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Let's just finish it for you and make sure you can change your settings and address all these SEO challenges. So that's why this is a particularly hard challenge for a lot of store owners and, you know, the directors of e-com, is because like this is unseen. You can't, it's not obvious to you unless you're kind of in the code and looking at the technical detail of how your site is structured. But having true structured data is just, you know, table stakes for SEO and AI search optimization. And everyone listening to this call should make sure that their data is structured properly using their Shopify theme. And you might all be surprised that's not. So number one table stake. Now the other thing for on-site SEO that we're starting to see, which is more of an experiment, right? Like, you know, everyone's learning how to do AI search optimization at the same time. So a lot of this is experimental, but having an LLMs.txt file sit on your root domain.
LLMs.txt file. I have implemented this on our retainer client sites. It is not difficult to do. And you make the LLMs.txt file, upload it to files in Shopify, and then set up a redirect for /LLMs.txt to that file. I've done it. Do we think it does anything?
Good question. Well, you can actually tell. Like in some cases, we've run tests and you can look at the source for a response to a ChatGPT query and it'll actually reference that TXT. So it's happening for our website, for example, for our own LLMs.txt file. So I assume it's going to work for brands. We're now suggesting it for commerce companies, brands,
you know, it's so easy to implement too. It's like, even if you don't think it works on the 1% chance it does, just do it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Shopify's got one, shopify.com.
They do.
If you go to shopify.com/, LLMs.txt, you'll see theirs. Theirs is very basic, very simple. And I think, you know, for most companies, you're going to want to have a little bit more data in there, a little more enrichment, but yeah, why not? It can't hurt.
The background here is the idea is it is resource intensive for an AI to process a website. And so you give it essentially like a simple, straightforward summary written in Markdown, which is, you know, a language that is very efficient for AIs to use. And you know, it's incredibly simple to write. There's nothing to it. In fact, the AI can just write it for you. And then that way they have, you know, kind of an, like, this is an overview of the site. It confirms the understanding of the site. And then maybe it has like a few key links that you're trying to highlight.
Exactly. And gets your point across. You know, we found that, yeah, again, it might be completely unnecessary. Well, I found that like on a B2B basis, ChatGPT is not showing the right results. But when I dive in to do an analysis on my own company, on domain, for example, they'll get our positioning right without a little bit more of a prompt. And maybe that's coming from the text file that's on our root domain, but maybe it's just coming from looking at our marketing, you know, and our homepage. And again, it might be doing nothing, but at the very least, it's not.
The other one technical one I've done, and I honestly don't think this does anything, is in robots.txt, which is a file that's Shopify serves up that says like, these are the pages a search engine is allowed to access. These are the ones it should ignore. And we do this for the benefit of crawl budget. You know, we don't want something like Google wasting time indexing, you know, nonsense pages when it should be focused on products and collections. And what we can also do that with this robots.txt file is explicitly say, you know, hey, these crawlers, these AI crawlers, you are allowed to access the site and encouraged to do so. But I mean, the default is we're not disallowing them to begin with. So the chances are that one is like, you know, it doesn't hurt. It's probably also not doing anything, but you know, it makes me feel good. So I keep doing it. Do we think customer reviews play a role? Are they advantageous?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, the LLMs are going to be looking to wherever they find that there's going to be thoughtful dialogue about your brand, period. And if you can host your own, again, you know, hosting your own customer reviews is a bit of a hack, right? Because like you want to surface the right reviews to your potential buyers and use your own review software to do so. But you should absolutely do that, not just on your homepage, even try it in your LLM's, you know, .txt file, you know, have a couple reviews there for them to access easily. Let's see how that goes. Surfacing customer reviews, it'll be something that LLMs are paying attention to, that ChatGPT is looking for when they're trying to get a sense for how are people really using your product.
You know, years ago, people, occasionally I would get asked like, oh, what do you do in optimize for voice search? And this is when like smart speakers exploded onto the market. And you know, smart speakers are really cool, like Alexa. We got to optimize for voice search. How do you optimize for voice search? And of course, you know, that didn't go anywhere. It didn't really happen. With, you know, optimizing for AI search for LLMs, this one feels much more real to me, right? I think it's easy to dismiss, but I don't think you should. And especially since I think all of the efforts we've described have additional benefits. You know, it overlaps with SEO, it overlaps with accessibility. I think, you know, that makes it a worthwhile endeavor, even if you don't think that this is going to play out long-term.
Completely agree. You know, think of it like you're contributing to the other things that you know you already need. A more accessible website not only helps you, you know, achieve an accessibility bar that allows you not to get sued by, you know, the online lawyers of the world, but also it helps you sell more. It makes your site easier to navigate. So you're going to make some more sales just by having an accessible website. If you're focusing on AI search optimization, you're going to be focusing on SEO. You're going to show up better organic search results. Even if this AI search thing proves to be way overhyped, all of our charts showing exponential growth are wrong. And in 6 months, we've always gone back to using Google. At the very least, you'll show up higher on Google. So why not? Why not engage with it? Don't bury your head in the sand.
Yeah, I think the way to think of it is like, well, in 5 years, are we going to be in a post-Google world? Yes or no? If yes, you got to do this. If no, still do it because it'll benefit your Google search results. I don't think this stuff's that tough.
True. But the early data is also, I mean, again, early data, emphasis, underline, bold it. But the early data is showing us that this is not taking away from Google. It's adding on top of. So Google search results and the Google as an organic traffic source is remaining consistent amongst our clients at the very least. And I think I've seen a couple other data points of this. What's happening is that there's just a little bit more pie growing, and it's growing through ChatGPT and through Perplexity and Cloud, et cetera. Now, that also could be an attribution issue. I think like that's the other thing to discuss when it comes to these AI search tools, is that oftentimes people are looking through AI search functionality and then going to Google and finding the link to the actual site. So sometimes, ChatGPT, and you're talking about which brands to choose, they'll just give you a name. You know, it's not going to give you a link. It's not going to give you a title card, a commerce card. So then that's actually, and then people are very comfortable going to Google to find the actual thing. So they'll switch from open a new tab, go to Google, search the brand, click on the website. Oh, and boom, you think it's organic search. But really, it actually came from a suggestion on ChatGPT. So, you know, the Google pie is remaining the same. However, ChatGPT, Perplexity, Claude, all of these AI search engines are influencing what people are choosing to click on and search through.
Well, all right. So one of the other things we need to touch on is more technical, but the storefront MCP, you know, some of the things that Shopify is doing to lay the groundwork for this post-Google future. We know they've got partnerships, it appears, with ChatGPT and Perplexity to feed, to make Shopify product catalog data available to those platforms. We know that a goal is to have a world where people can purchase through these AIs directly from your site, and that this stuff will just plug in and work automatically with your Shopify store, you know, without you having to like go through some big process here. I think, you know, that's where we're headed pretty quickly. And then they have a tool called the Storefront MCP, which essentially is a way for an AI chatbot to directly query the store with questions and get answers. And then like it indexes it, you could see it, and you could adjust the answers in the future should other folks ask. This one, I have yet to see a store where this pops up. Like there's, I forgot the name, but there's an app where Shopify will show you, you know, if this
knowledge
is
base app.
Knowledge base, thank you. I haven't seen it happen yet, you know, where an AI used that MCP, but I'm glad it's there. Any, you know, thoughts or experience with it?
I completely agree. I mean, here's the thing, and I said it four times already while talking, we're early. So like, if you're listening to this, you're early, you're thinking about all the right things, but it's all early. And if the trends continue in the way that it's supposed to, you're gonna be really grateful that you're using Shopify and that that the MCP is referencing your site. That's a fact. But has it had a material impact on our clients yet? Not really, no. But we know that Shopify is gearing up. They're making this bet on the future of commerce being well integrated into AI, and not just the future of commerce, future of business. You know, look at the way that Shopify's retooled their internal company, how they hire. They've brought on people to be completely focused on how to AI optimize their own sales process, or how they launch websites using the platform. I mean, top to bottom, inside and out, Shopify is focused on AI. So anybody who's running a brand can be sure that by using the software, by making the selection on Shopify, you're also making a hedge against, or a hedge, you're choosing an AI feature, if there is going to be one. Now, there might not be. We might all be overblown. Everything might be normal in 3 years. I think that's a possible outcome. Honestly, I do. But at least you're in the right place at the right time to make sure you're going to capitalize on that tools should it happen, which is most likely.
So give me one action step. Give me one takeaway. You know, what should somebody do?
Start tracking. The very first thing to do when it comes to AI discoverability online is come up with 10 to 15 different prompts. Put them into a software, either like a custom dashboard. Ask ChatGPT. Is mybusiness.com showing up for any of these 10 prompts? You know, just go ahead and ask those platforms themselves. But if you don't start tracking, you're not going to start looking. And also look at your own Google Analytics. What lead sources are moving up the list? Is Claude, Perplexity, ChatGPT, Grok, are they starting to show up in your top 10 results from a lead source perspective for organic traffic? If so, create a custom dashboard right on your home page, on your home screen of your computer, and start paying attention to it. So that's the very first thing. Start tracking, take a look at the data, make sure it's going trending in the right direction. And if it is, then start taking steps to put solves in and just be more clever. You know, there's an opportunity right now in the market to be more clever than some of these search engines and capitalize on some of the arbitrage while they're still figuring it out.
If things are moving so quickly, how do you stay current?
The truth is, everyone is still figuring this out. You know, I get on a prospect call and someone's like, hey, how do we solve for AI? And my answer is, I don't have that answer for you. I'm still learning. We're still learning. We're still hiring. We're, you know, it seems like every other morning, there's like a new YouTube video of some expert who's has this new hack. And I watch all of them. You know, I'm interested. I want to know what's going on. But the truth is, like, it's something that's happening at the cutting edge of technology that people are still learning in real time. So find someone who's part of that learning, who's an early adopter, whether it's an agency, whether it's a friend of yours, which is someone that you hire as an internal employee, get close, or it's maybe you. Maybe you have the time. I need to invest 5 hours a week of my own time every week to make sure I'm staying on top of AI search optimization and how I show up on ChatGPT. But if you're not paying attention to it, if you're ignoring that it exists, then you'll never be ahead of it.
Any newsletters you like?
Tomer from Yapo actually has a really informative newsletter on AI as it relates to e-commerce. So I can't remember what it's called right now, but Tomer is the CEO of Yapo. That's really the only one. Actually, no, there's one other thing. SEOFOMO.co.
Commerce GPT is Tomer's, and I will put that in the show notes.
In the SEOFOMO.co is another good resource for AI and SEO information. But there's a lot of resources online. Also, I post a lot of content around AI search optimization.
Where do we find Matt King online?
I'm on LinkedIn. Yeah, mostly LinkedIn. Matt King domain. Look me up in the or on X at Matt King.
All right. I will link to both of those, to all that in the show notes. And before we go, can I compliment your Jaws shirt? It is Jaws 50th anniversary. I just rewatched that movie recently. I'm like, you know what? It's really good. It holds up.
It holds up. Steven Spielberg's first movie, the first summer blockbuster, by the way. I mean, you know, there's so many reasons to love Jaws, but like we're looking back at history. You're right. It's the 50th anniversary. There's actually is a Kit Jaws collab, which is fun. And I'm a big fan of Kit. I love Kit.
Matt King, domain. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate you having me on.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.